Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's great to have my main man here, Body. Welcome, buddy.
Thank you.
And today we have got a super guest. This man is an absolute legend of the NBL, a former player, but also a championship-winning coach. He has coached over 500 games. He led the Brisbane Bullets to the 2007 NBL Championship. He coached the Gold Coast Blaze, finished up in Adelaide last year. He's a three-time NBL coach and was also inducted, if I'm not mistaken, into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame in 2011. None other than Joey Wright. Joey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, let's fire it up straight away. What people want to know what you're doing and where you are, because a lot of people don't know that you're still in Adelaide, not across transition sports. So if you can just sort of bring us up to speed that what's happened since you've left the NBL ranks.
Look, I'm still here in Adelaide. First and foremost, being a dad, raising a 14-year-old by myself. So that's a job in itself.
That, that is. Absolutely.
That anybody can give you help with. But that's been fun and challenging all at the same time. But I'm running Transition Sports, which is an academy for kids between the age of 8 and 20. And we're just trying to help people love basketball more and get better at the game. And it's been fantastic. Should have been years ago.
Yeah, the group of kids that you have, it varies in talent. You don't have to be a superstar, do you? It's not like those programs that you have at various institutes where, you know, you've got to be the best kid in your club or something. This is open to kids of all skill levels, isn't it?
Yeah, my debate with basketball and a lot of people over the time when it comes to skill level, I think our job as coaches is not just to coach who we think the superstars are or can be. I think our job is to teach and coach people who want to come to the gym, work hard, focus, listen, be cordial to their teammates. If you want to do those things and you want to show up, it's our job to show up with you. So we have varying skills. We have some of the best players, state players, and we have people who play Div 2, Div 3.
Right.
And we all make it work. So it's been fun.
Joey, I'm going to jump in there straight away. I just want to ask you from your perspective how things finished up in Adelaide. What's your thoughts there, mate?
Look, I was extremely disappointed in how it ended, but, you know, most of the times when coaches leave organizations, it's never a pretty look. People do not know how to walk away, and not just in sport, but in relationships. People don't know how to walk away and carry their dignity with them. And, you know, sometimes it's just not the place you want to be. Everyone thinks I was fired. I wasn't fired. I didn't want to be there anymore. I think they were okay with not wanting me there. It was pretty mutual on their part as well, I would assume. I was just disappointed on how it transpired. But, you know, I know you fall on the sword that you create. I was a very forceful. I wanted things done my way. And that way it worked most of the time. It didn't work the past year, and you fall on that sword.
Well, I think proof's in the pudding there. You fell on your sword, but you got over 500 games in an NBL championship.
Yeah.
So I think that sword's pretty good. How do you compare your time in Adelaide with the time at the Bullets and the Gold Coast? I know that's a pretty rough question to throw at you, but how do you compare those times?
Look, when I was at the Bullets, I had one owner, and that owner, as far as finances, we could compete with any team in the league, if not beat any team in the league financially. At Gold Coast, we had just a lovely family-owned run company, all the same people. You know, when I got here to L.A., I think over the time it was three different ownership groups. We never had a name right sponsor. I had four, five, six CEOs. Financially, we couldn't compete. So it was tough. You know, in that time, we were successful at winning games. We weren't successful at winning a championship. But we won as many games as any team in the league. We went to playoffs as any team in the league except Perth. Perth won more games than us as well. But, we competed. I thought we batted above our weight. I thought the program was in great shape. And, you know, it's up to those guys now to take it. And those guys that thought they had a different direction, take it to where they want to take it to.
Joey, that first season when you came into Adelaide and you inherited a last place team, And basically the only major difference was Gary Irvin, that you changed the import. I think Jared Fry didn't quite measure up, or he just had confidence issues. But basically you had a team that came last and you took him to the grand final series. That must have been pretty satisfying for year one.
Yeah, dude, I didn't get coach of the year that year either. So we get coach of the year that year. I'll put an asterisk by that one. I think all the coaches voted for their friends that year.
Not that it bothers you.
Not that it bothers me at all. I never think about that. Actually, though. But it was satisfying. It was, I think, a really testament to a change in almost like a case study in styles of play, because they had a style of play, we had the same players and just gave them a different style of play, and we were really successful that year and went to the grand final. Was one game. Perth was definitely a better team and kicked our butt in the championship game, but I don't think a lot of people remember that grand final that year because they keep thinking that we were pretty horrible. I don't know, we were pretty damn good that year. One game at home, I think.
Yeah, and you had two grand final series, and I think the one people remember is the most recent one, obviously with Melbourne United. But yeah, that was a pretty amazing effort. And I remember, I think it was game one that we might have lost that one in Perth, but Brendan Teague played terrific, yeah. And you'd taken a real punt on him and promoted him from end of the bench into the starting group when Jared Fry got cut. So yeah, I mean, it's not like you weren't prepared to make a few ballsy decisions. I think that was a pretty good season. You should be fairly happy with that one, I reckon.
I was happy that season. I learned about myself. I learned how to clean floors and wash uniforms. that year, we did a whole bunch behind the scenes that I never had to do as a head coach, just to make it work. And you know, I will give credit to Daryl Simmons. I don't think he ever gets enough credit for what he did, because if it wasn't for him, we would not have had a team that year. And he's the reason why we had a team. And I told him, if you can just keep us afloat for a year, we'll win some games. I really think we have some talent here. We'll win some games. And he said, I'll keep it going for a year. And he did. He kept it going. And we were able to win a few games. And then, you know, obviously we changed ownership soon after that.
Joey, I don't know if you get to listen to the podcast every week, but my man here, Boddy, who's, you know, cranky bumps, right? He always is having a go at me about purple and gold. Did you just hear him talking to you? We won. We did. We liked. Did you hear all of that, Joey?
That's when it was we. That's when connected to the thing.
No, he gives me crap, Joey. And I tell you, he is more adult. And I just wonder, how do you put up in the same city, mate? If I finished, I'd be going somewhere away from Boddy.
Yeah. Well, I think, Joey, you consider Brisbane home, don't you?
I do consider Brisbane more home, but I will say this, and I've said this 100 times, LA 36 is bigger than me or any other coach. So I can't expect the show not to go on because I'm not there. You know, they got it's still a team. The brand is bigger. And Boddy's bought into the brand the same as you bought into the Kings. You're a big Kings fan, so you bought in too, so.
Mate, look, it's a loss not having you in the league, and Boddy and I say it all the time. Mate, I do want to ask, you obviously were a fantastic NBL player yourself. How do you think the league is traveling today compared to when you were playing?
Last year, I think, talent-wise, I think it was really good talent. Even since the three import rule came in, the Australians from overseas start to come back. It's definitely more talented than when I played. When I played, you basically played one-on-one with the person in front of you. I think Brian Gorgian probably was the only team that had systematic defensive rotations back then. You know, if I could beat the guy in front of me, I just laid the ball up. Nobody was there to help. And, you know, the quality of ball wasn't as good. I know everybody talk about the glory days, the good old days, whatever, but the talent over the last 6 to 3 imports and the Aussies coming back is better. And Australian players are just better right now. I mean, that's evident about them, being able to play in the NBA as many. When we had one playing in the NBA, we were jumping up and down, you know, when Hoagie went and Joey went and then Shane went. We were all like clapping. Now it's what, 12 or 13? Yeah. Talent's just better. No question about it.
Good answer.
So transition sports, that's what you're doing at the moment. But what would you consider your ideal job in coaching? Like, is there something you'd like to do at the, like, go back to the NBL or maybe go to China? Because you mentioned before that coming to Adelaide, you know, you learn about cleaning floors and probably cutting oranges and washing uniforms. And we had Brian Gorgian on the other week, and he said that when he went to China, it was such a culture shock because he didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to worry about the fans. He didn't have to worry about pleasing the sponsors or catching up with people after games. All he had to do was coach, and everything else was taken care of. So is there any kind of scenario like that that you can envisage? Well, I wouldn't mind going and coaching there or applying my trade there.
Well, right now, you know, with a 14-year-old, and yep. I'm not going to take her to, you know, yep. to an Asian country or to Europe. There's no way. And so it's either here or America. And I don't want to coach an NBL at all. I mean, I have no desire at all. I can honestly watch the games and have no emotion towards being there or not being there at all. I support and applaud the players that I know and have a relationship with, and I want them to be successful. I try to stay out their way during the season as I did when I coached. So I won't call them as much now as I will after the season. But, you know, it's either here in America. Ideally, I would love to get into an NBA situation. But here, and once again, you got to remember, I don't have an ego about coaching. Whether I'm coaching a, you know, 12-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl or a 22-year-old pro, it doesn't matter to me. A lot of people have ego about it. And some of my really good friends that are coaching, I mean, they won't coach less than a Div 2 player. Like, I don't, you know, I'm less than a Div 1 player. I don't care. Like, if you show up, you got intensity, let's go. Like, I'm having just as much enjoyment and satisfaction out of this sport right now as I ever have.
Can I just ask a little bit more? Sorry, buddy. I know you're going to ask something. It was just intriguing what you said there, because we also had Rob Beveridge on the show recently, and he said how he was just, I don't know if it's the right words, were burnt out, but it just didn't go well, how it transitioned, and he needed time away from the game. You, 500 NBL games is a massive loss not having you as a coach. Do you see that changing? Like, I'm hearing in your voice, I don't want to come back. I'm not ready for this.
I have no interest in coaching in the NBL. I mean, none.
Right.
Not zero. That's probably a lot to do with the administration of the game and nothing to do with the game itself. Like I said, it's really good players out there doing some really fantastic things. But the way the game was administrated over the last couple of years, I just see no interest for me. Like, I think it's great to market the game, but when the marketing of the game comes in conflict with the winning of the game, who wins, I just don't see that as a, you know, as a benefit to anyone. And that's just me personally. But, you know, I think they've done a great job to market the game. And if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for Larry, we would not have a league like we have now, if a league at all. So understand, I'm not knocking them at all. I don't think we would have a league, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for him. But Larry wants it Larry's way, and I don't think that way is always the right way. And so I'm out, and that's fine with Larry, trust me, and that's fine with me too.
Yeah. Well, I think there was sort of some inference in one of our past interviews with either, can't remember who it was, might have been Bevo, that there's a few coaches now that are out of the league, that the league would probably be in better shape if you were involved, but so be it. Let me ask you about some of the players you've coached, and maybe we'll just throw some names at you, Joey, and you can just toss back a word or a sentence to describe them, because you had a tremendous impact on at least two of the three that I'm going to throw at you. And the first one I'm going to throw at you is Sam McKinnon. Like, he was often referred to as our potential NBA athlete, and that he had this, that, and the other to his game, and he could jump out of the gym and all that sort of stuff. But until, you know, he was playing for you at Brisbane, we didn't see it all come together. And at Brisbane, it all came together. He was MVP. He was in that fantastic championship team of yours that won, what was it, 21 straight or something like that? 21
yep.
straight? Yep. You know, so talk to us a bit about him.
Well, Sam is the most talented player I've ever coached, coupled with the intellect and athleticism. He is, the things he could do, I mean, he guarded 1 through 5. He rebounded the ball. He passed the ball well. And that year, he shot the ball extremely well. That had nothing to do with me, trust me.
Yeah, he did.
He shot the ball unbelievably well that year. I think it was close to 50% from the three. And he just absolutely dominated on both sides of the court. And, you know, our first year together, we had definitely a come-to-Jesus moment where it was either going to be me go or him learn. And I was fortunate enough to stay, and he learned. And so the second year, he really, really got his head around it and you know, did what I asked him to do. And, he, man, it was unbelievable. I don't think, and I might be wrong, I don't think an NBL player has ever had a year that like he had in the NBL. Nobody. Andrew Gaze or anybody has dominated both sides of the court like he had that year.
Wow, what a great call. Yeah, Joey, that's great. Look, we're going to throw a couple of other names at you and just all we really like, you know, maybe, you know, quick word, one-liners on what you think of these players. So I'll start. CJ Brewton.
Oh, one of the funniest guys and the most talented, one of the most talented guys I ever coached. Love coaching CJ. Selfless talent. That's good. Well, selfless talent is a good name for him.
Right.
Adam Gibson.
Intelligent, a great, intelligent, and I would say a great friend. You know, he's transpired from a player to a great friend now, and just a, you know, just intelligent ball player. Has milked every ounce of his non-athleticism.
I got to be honest, I haven't really met Adam Gibson a lot. Like, I've seen him around, and there isn't a guy that doesn't speak highly of him. He sounds like an absolute true champion. So, great, great words there. Mate, Nathan Sobey.
Nathan, extremely, extremely talented, competitive guy. He's the type of guy that you don't want to play against, and you want him on your team. Like, he's going to go hard every day, training, work his butt off. He's probably not the easiest guy for some players to be on side, but that's because he's so competitive. And I would say this, you know, I'm not an easy guy to, you know, to coach someone, because I want every ounce out of you all the time. And that sometimes drives people nuts.
Hey, Joey, was it in, just segueing, was it in Singapore where you had the team in the swimming pool and he just jumped out of the pool?
He was in waist-high water.
Waist-high
water, standing at the edge of the pool, and he jumped out of waist-high water onto the side of the pool.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like that.
Oh, my God, the strength.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's extraordinary.
Out the water onto the side. We just all freaked out. He did it like it was nothing. He wasn't like, oh, watch this. This is incredible. Watch, he just did it.
Yeah.
Like, I just do this all the time.
Yeah. All right, I got one for you. Daniel Johnson.
Daniel, he's definitely, you know, obviously talented, and he is, I can't say anything bad about him because he worked his butt off for me every single, you know, chance he got. He never, ever, ever took a day off of training. He doesn't want to miss a day. He works his butt off. Is he hard to coach? He is hard, but it's probably because he's smarter than me and everybody else. He's a pretty intelligent ball player, but he is, you know, he's tough to coach. You know, he wants things done his way. He does know the right way most of the time. He does see the right way most of the time. I obviously wanted him to be more of a leader and step up and voice his opinion more and let us know in ways that we could understand how to help him and how to help everybody else. You know, he's talented. You love to sit and get a chip before he leaves. You don't want to be one of those guys known as the most talented guy who's never won.
Yeah.
But he's unguardable one-on-one. So, you know, but yeah, not the easiest guy to coach, but I love coaching him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Now, the way you exited coaching, though, I'm just curious if this still bothers you or whether you're over it, because I just thought, I have written many emails and text messages that I have sent confidentially to people, which if they were out in the public forum, I wouldn't look terribly good because you tend to, you know, you tend to be more brutal and honest. And I thought the way that, was it an email or a text that you sent, the way that was actually brought out into the public forum was pretty outrageous. How did you feel about that? Like, that, now, honestly, did that sort of rock you or did you go, well, this is just typical?
When someone betrays you that you've only given, only helped. I mean, I've never, ever taken anything from that individual. I only helped him. And he betrayed me on a joke. And he knew it was a complete joke. We were in New Zealand when that text went out. I actually got out of bed at 9 o'clock and went and knocked on everybody's door with Kevin White, which pissed me off even more. I went and knocked on everybody's door and checked on them and seen how they're doing. But I do know this about people. When people know that you pride yourself on something, when they want to hurt you, they're going to use the thing that you pride yourself on more. Right. And I pride myself on players' interests and looking at players outside of sport and caring about them other than being a uniform or a player out there in a uniform. And so when they tried to hurt me, because it was a conscious effort from about four or five people in the club to consciously make me look bad, when they did that, they went after the one thing that they know would probably hurt me more. So it did sting.
Yep.
But the reality of it is, anyone that's ever been in a room with me that called himself a friend are probably still my friend. Those that were in the room with me who were undermining me to get a job, to get ahead, to get further, then they're not my friend. And it's best I know that now than to carry them around for the next 4 or 5 years and call them a friend. So what came to light was the people that are with me now are the people that I know care about me. And if I don't talk to you now, I know you never cared about me.
Right. Well, I want to finish on this note, because I was talking to someone recently on a different radio program, and you came up, and this is someone from Brisbane, and they said, oh, look, I know Joey. He can't walk past a playground. If he sees a couple of kids shooting around, he'll want to go and give them a hand. that coaching is that much a part of you that you know, if you see someone that's just two or three kids playing and you want to go and help them. So I just think that's fantastic. I see what you're doing with Transition Sports, and I think that's a fantastic initiative as well. And it's great to have you in the game, even if you're not at the elite level at the moment and don't see any or don't have any interest in returning to that in the near future. But hopefully one day, I mean, you might make a really good assistant coach to somebody. Who knows?
Hey, I was talking to a friend of mine in college, and I said to him, hey, I'd be happy to assist. I know what a good assistant is supposed to be like, because I've always had them. So, you know, I know what assistants are supposed to do. So now I'll assist somebody one day somewhere.
Joey, look, show. we could speak all day, mate. It's been absolutely beautiful to have you on. It obviously is a shame that you have to be near body, but you know, hey, not all things can.
It's okay. It's okay.
Not all things can be.
It's a big state. You've got social distancing. It's all good.
Not big enough. Joey, mate, you are a legend. It is a loss not having you. You are an outright champion. I did hear some whispers one stage that you might have been coming to the Kings, and I've got to be honest, it was very exciting. Oh, that's true, but I did hear it.
No.
This was a while ago. It was many years ago, not at the moment. Mate, thank you so much. You are an absolute legend. Thank you. Please, we'd love to have you on the show again, and thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Well, we want to thank Joey Wright. What a legend. It's great to have him on the show. Great insight. What a passionate coach he is, buddy. You can just, it just comes out of him in droves, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he's so positive with the kids. You know, he just gets the best out of them, and not just, it's teaching them life skills too. Yeah, it's a really good environment, that Transition Sports, and I'm glad he's doing it, because that's an area that's lacking in our
country. Absolutely. And it's great, you know, like that he's doing that, because that what a coach to have. You imagine your kids, brilliant. Anyway, let's move on to the NBL Cup, or as Boddy likes to call it, the big show.
Well, it's a big show. Show tonight. Oh, baby, come on.
Well, we're coming into round eight. Obviously, round seven is finished. Just for our listeners, obviously, some interesting games here. Sydney, I don't want to call it thumping New Zealand, but up by 20. Melbourne stretched out the Adelaide one. We're going to come back to there. There was a bit of an injury. We want to talk about that one there, Joey. Brisbane, great win against Illawarra. Jeez, Nathan Sobey tearing it up. Yep. Perth destroying Cairns. Let's not talk about that one. New Zealand and Adelaide. Oh, my God. Isaac Humphries. Well, he ain't a 44-point player. He's not that good. But I tell you what, that was a disgrace. Melbourne United, Sydney Kings, game of the round. I thought they gave it away at the end there, the Kings. A Phoenix easily against Illawarra and the Brisbane Bullets down in Cairns on Monday night. Boddy, what'd you like?
I thought two games. I thought Sydney did kind of blow it against Melbourne. They had the chance to sort of upset them, and they did blow it. And I also felt that Illawarra blew its game. I think it was it Brisbane that they lost to earlier in the. Yes, yeah, it was Brisbane it was 91 all, and they muffed a shot, and then they made a stupid foul. Like it was only about 9 seconds to go or something. They could have gone to overtime. They made a ridiculous foul, and then Vic Laws hit the two free throws. That's right, and then they've gone down the floor trying to get a layup, and then they've given up an unsportsmanlike foul. It's like you had a chance to win it, you had a chance to go to overtime. You know, I just thought it's a curiosity to me, Brad, because they've been traveling so well, and now in the last little patch, you know, they're coming back to the pack fairly significantly. Yep. And while they are, I'm looking at Brisbane all of a sudden after their terrible fade out against the Phoenix, and they're starting to sort of string it together. Vic Law has been very good. Nathan Sobey has been sensational. I wasn't here or there that he was left out of the Olympic squad for the
Well, he's making a stance. He's angry, he plays well, doesn't he?
Yeah, but when you look at his position in that Olympic team, and you look at all the guys that are available for that, he doesn't feature all that prominently. You're not going to put him in, say, ahead of even a Dante Exum or people of that nature. Yeah. But I've got to. You know, change that stance, because the reality is, if you've got Dengadel in this squad, and Dengadel is stinking it up on a weekly basis, and you've got Nathan Sobey, who's killing at the moment, absolutely killing, well, I think he's got a reason to have his nose out of joint, to be honest.
I just think that he hasn't sulked. He's just got out and said, all right, well, I'll prove it to you, and this is the way I'm doing it. And he is tearing it up. Yep. He is absolutely tearing it up, and he's been beautiful to watch. Like that game against Cairns, he destroyed them. He had it on the string.
Yep. Yep. What are you thinking about Perth right now?
Oh, I love them. I still think they're great. I think they're, you know, Mooney is just a great pickup. He's brilliant with them. I think Toddy Blanchfield is filling in beautiful. I think Mitch Norton's still got to find his groove a little bit. Steindl, I don't know what's happened there. He's been injured
for a while.
Yeah,
so.
It just doesn't feel like any in sync, but fair to be fair call. I think Toddy Blanchfield, as I said, is great. I just think they're brilliant. They're just doing what they do. And of course, they've got the best player in the league, mate. You know?
Yeah, but you know, this was the team that everybody on the East Coast was, you know, writing off.
You can never write them off. Now, obviously, when we talk about the NBL Cup, or should we call it the big show?
Well, it's a big show.
There is a ladder, and you get points for wins and everything. And at the moment, Melbourne is on top. They're at 17.5 points, Perth at 16, Sydney 15, and then it's a little bit of a square. But I love the fact there's 7 points up for every game. And I'm really enjoying these doubleheaders, mate. I've got to say, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I do too, up to a point. I'm into Vikings, and it's season six or something, and I can't watch it because I've got bloody basketball games every freaking day. I mean, as much as I love it, you know, I really do want to see what happens to, you know, Ragnar Lothbrok's kids. But anyway, that's another story.
I'm speechless. Right, let's move on. We didn't do it last week, and I'm going to do it this week. I just want your win and losses. We've got a heap of games coming up in round eight starting Wednesday. New Zealand versus Brisbane.
I think you've got to go with Brisbane at the moment. I mean, New Zealand humiliated Adelaide. I mean, you thought Adelaide's 8 points against Melbourne United, 8-31 at quarter time, was bad. And then you get a 6-32 against New Zealand. So one's against the top team. You go, okay, maybe. Then the other one's against the last place team. So New Zealand, you know, they found it a little bit, but I think there's too much of a dependence on the Websters. If they're going well, that's great. If they're going badly, no one else sees the ball. Brisbane will win that.
I agree. Perth versus Southeast Melbourne.
Gee, isn't that a good one? Because ever since the announcement was made that Ryan Brokoff was going to be joining the Phoenix, suddenly Cam Glidden's come good.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Hasn't he come good all of a sudden? It's like, I'm not the one going out of the first five. Ruben Tarangi, get ready to take a seat. Yeah. So that's been interesting. That makes that that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going Perth.
Yeah, I am too, but only because it's Perth, you know, because they're just so reliable.
Cairns versus Sydney, forget it, Sydney. I've lost Cairns.
Nah, me too. Cairns are done.
This Illawarra versus Adelaide. Now, everyone in their right mind would think Illawarra after the Adelaide game. If Isaac Humphrey doesn't play, it'll be Illawarra. If Isaac Humphrey does play, this is the way Illawarra go this season. Adelaide go this season.
Yeah,
bad, so they could win. But I can't see it because I don't think that didn't look the good injury from Isaac. No one was around him.
Yeah, so they're the worst, isn't it? When when you hear, who kicked me, and you look around, there's no one there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have any faith in Adelaide. I mean, when Brandon Paul arrives, obviously that'll give them a hell of a boost, and they'll win a few games on that. But I think they're just digging themselves a bit too much of a hole. Remember, they had a lot of home games to start this season too, so they'll have a lot of away games at the back end. So,
All right, this one's going to be tough, mate. Perth versus Brisbane. Assuming both teams, well, you know, Perth will play well, but Brisbane, they're playing good basketball. Vic Law's great. We said about Sobey. Matt Hodgson has changed his team around. He is just a dynamite centre for him. So I'm looking forward to that game, but I'm going Perth again just because it's Perth, but still be a ripper.
I might be tempted to go with Brisbane because there's something about, you know, a moustache that really works for me. and ever since they sat down and said, we're all going to grow moustaches, I've suddenly got a fondness for Brisbane I didn't have previously.
Love it. New Zealand versus Melbourne. I'm not even going to ask you. Adelaide versus Cairns. Oh,
geez, that's sort of like, you know.
Cairns have got to win one. I'm going for it.
Yeah. Can they both lose? Is that possible? No. All
right. Anything's possible. Phoenix versus the Kings.
Oh, that'll be a cracker of a game because Phoenix, do we know how bad Kiefer Sykes is injured? Like, is he out for a little while? No, we don't know. I think that's pretty important because him and Casper Ware, that would be a hell of a contest.
I'm going Kings.
I think I might too.
Which is United versus Brisbane. Jeez, Brisbane, three games this round. Wow. Whew, that's going to be hard. I'm going United.
Yeah, because you just have to.
Mind you, that's next Sunday, but still, there's a lot of games. And the last one to round out the round, Illawarra versus. Yeah, it's a great game.
Jeez.
Illawarra versus Perth. All first place.
Yeah, I'm not going to get to watch anything. Forget the crown. People could tell me the crown's good. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm watching basketball. Yeah.
Oh, come on, buddy. Don't say that on our show. That's that. Right.
Hungarian background royalists. You know, we're into that stuff.
Apparently. Give me a nudge nasty.
A nudge nasty. The official review. It's like the Benny Hill show now. Can a referee get anything right? Everything gets challenged. Everything gets challenged now, virtually. It's like you can't even pick who is it. Did it go out of green or did it go out of white?
Well, no? I love the fact that it's there, buddy. I've got to be honest. I do love the fact that it's there. But the problem now is the players are calling it. And I feel for the officials now because they can do it. So the players, every single, wasn't on me. I mean, they never believe a player. Jeez, I was the same, mate. You try anything, right?
Absolutely. And the reality about basketball is it's about a game. It's a game of mistakes. If it wasn't a game of mistakes, then everybody would hit every shot they'd take.
Correct.
So it's all about how you react to mistakes and how you deal with it. And the referees are human too. And you know what? If they get an out of bounds wrong, big bloody deal. Yeah. It evens out over the course of the game. These constant stoppages, they're taken away from the beauty of our game, Brad. They're taken away from that flow, the momentum. Now, you can have people standing around for a couple of minutes there. And it's like, you just don't need it. We just don't need it. On a crucial call, like I think if you do it in the last 3 minutes, okay, I'm all right with that last 3 minutes, but rest of the game, let's have some flow, for crying out loud. Do we really need to change the clock from 0.5 to, you know, 0.9? I mean, geez.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's cool.
And the Rattler?
Yeah, my Rattler. The Tony Crocker call. Mate, I got to be honest. Let's set the scene here. Tony Crocker's gone up to rebound. He's hit Jack White, right, trying to stop him fouling. I didn't think it was a vicious foul. Now, Jack White has fallen and it's terrible injury. I don't like that at all. And I feel for him and, you know, that's terrible. But what I'm saying is if you're going to have players that are now saying, right, there's a point for every quarter and we're sitting here saying, I love it because everyone's going to play the game out now till the end. Jack White goes up for a dunk, right? Good on Jack White. And Tony Crocker says, no, I'm going to try and get a point. Now, he didn't tunnel him. He didn't do anything, in my opinion, was stupid or anything. But yes, it was a hard foul and he fell awkwardly. I got to be honest, I don't think, yes, unsportsmanlike, got no issue with that, all the right calls. But I think it's been a little bit over-dramatized, mate. It's a foul. It's a hard foul.
I know, but it possibly is, and it's a crude foul too. But it comes on top of the fact that Tony Crocker's form has been pretty ordinary for an import. And so I think people are sort of going, well, is that what he's brought in for, just for a bit of thuggery here and there? I mean, that's where the path that people go down. I think he fouled. I mean, I heard Lenard Copeland say, and I thought Lenard Copeland on the commentary just quietly was fantastic. Him and Andrew Gaze, their rapport was so beautiful. Yeah, you could just tell these are guys that have known each other a long time, have a lot of history. But he made the comment that, you know, he thought that Jack White was being disrespectful trying to score there. And I'm thinking, no, exactly what you just said. We're playing for a point here. If we're level on how many points both teams have scored in the quarter, well, you want to get that extra two. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the look of it. That's all. It didn't look good. It reminded me of a foul that Nate Jawai made on Tom Abercrombie a long time ago in a Cairns New Zealand game in Auckland, and it was just a bit awkward and just looked a bit horrible. But fortunately, Tom didn't get hurt, whereas Jack White did, which is why I think we're having the reaction. And wrap it up. We're done.
Yeah, we're done. Thank you again, Joey Wright. You're an absolute legend. Body, so are you. I give you crap, but you deserve it anyway. To everyone else, thank you for listening. Lots of love, Body. You're the man. Don't forget to check out his articles. He is the man. BOTINAGY.com. Body, thanks, mate.
Thank you. See ya.
Good on ya. See you next week, everyone.